Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Roger Peterson, for those of you who don't know me or wish they didn't or whatever. I'm here taking the place of Bernice Kandarian, who is the president of CCCLV. She's up in the room and not feeling well. She apologizes for not being here. It's a struggle for her these days to do conventions, and sometimes she just has to sleep and heal. But anyway, this is the joint session of the Technology Committee and CCCLV, the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. And we generally have a theme that kind of relates to and adds on to the technology meeting that happened just before this session. And today we have Stephanie Rood, and I think we also have Richard Retta.
Right. Yep.
There's Richard Retta. I saw him right over there. And we already know that his system works because he used it last hour. So the theme is going to be, you know, it's all the iOS and the smartphones and the other such devices, principally iOS, I think, and with some emphasis on apps that are particularly useful, have been particularly found to be useful for people with low vision. And that's just about all I know about it, so that's about all I'm going to say. I try to restrict what I say to what I know. And so the only thing I have left to do, I think, is to introduce to you someone who needs little or no introduction, Stephanie Rood, who works for the VA, the Veterans Affairs Medical Center, I think, in Long Beach. And she teaches technology to the veterans there who have become visually impaired. And so here's Stephanie. Thank you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I knew Richard was speaking. I'd want to know what you were covering, so I may overlap. I hope not. Yeah, it might be a lot. Originally, when I was asked to do this presentation, iOS 7 hadn't been talked about yet, and it hadn't been released, so we didn't even know what to expect. I still am using iOS 6 on my phone. On my iPad, I'm using iOS 7, and boy, are there some visual differences. Very big time. And sorry to say, if you've gone to 7, you can't go back. On that note, there are some things you can do to make some improvement, but it doesn't always work. You can use Zoom and you can use inverted colors. As a matter of fact, you can even Siri will even turn inverted colors on and off by asking. So at least you don't have to go hunting through the settings and then to accessibility and then to what you need to turn on and off. You can say activate Siri and say turn on invert colors or turn off invert colors. So that is a plus with 7. Many of you know that if you were using iOS 6, that you could set it to different size points, and that would affect your notes, your mail, your messaging. Those were the main things that it would affect. When iOS 7 first was released, before they did the first patch, there was still enlargement, but you had to turn it on in two different places, and it wasn't set as point size. It was just a variable slider that may or may not affect the text. And at first, the message of your email, for instance, the actual message was in large print, but the list of emails was not. The same was true with messages. And the same was true with Notes when it first came out. After the first patch, they fixed that. So now everything does come up in large print. But it's the fonts are now skinnier and closer together, making it a little more difficult to read. So there, if you turn on bold and turn off some of the dynamic stuff in settings, it does improve in some areas and in some cases not. The color scheme, well, while in iOS 6 was had very high contrast. In other words, if you were using the keyboard, whether it was inverted or not inverted, you could see there was enough contrast. In iOS 7, in standard mode, for some people, the keyboard kind of just disappears. So in my case, if I use the keyboard, I usually turn on inverted colors in order to be able to see the keyboard. I do use VoiceOver as well, but there are times when I'm in the car, and if I'm not using a headset, I don't want everybody else to know my business. I'm hoping that in the future that they will make some improvements to some of these color schemes. Now, on another note, I do use the camera quite a bit for a lot of different things. For instance, I will take a picture of a menu, let's say Taco Bell, and they have it up on the wall. Can't see it, but I'll take a picture, and then I will go back to the camera roll and use the zoom feature in order to zoom in on the text of the menu so that I can actually read the menu and the prices. That takes a little practice to keeping a steady hand. And what I do is I generally use my body as a tripod. In other words, I'll hold the camera, the phone, whether it's in landscape or portrait, and I'll stick my elbows up against my ribs. Sticking your elbows up against your body gives it more something to steady against, and you're less likely to move as much, causing blur. I do use Zoom Reader, which is a scan and read product from AI Squared, which I did not pay for $2.99 for the additional voices, which are better than the one that it comes with, which is Tom. But you can adjust the color scheme and the font size so that you can see the text as well. It's the only scan and read software out there that I've seen that has the ability to change the color and font size both. It has some voice recognition where you can say take picture and it will actually snap the picture so you're not having to double tap the screen, which then causes blurring for some people. And that Zoom Reader still works in iOS 7 just fine. I used it at Braille Institute when I was up there visiting in Santa Barbara not too long ago to show some folks. So there's no problem with that. I am still, because the Veterans Administration has policies, we're still teaching mostly in iOS 6. I am also using, I also will do, you heard, if you were here last hour, you heard Andrea talk about Bard, and you can adjust the font color, I believe the color, I know the size for sure, you can adjust the size so that you can follow. It also has a highlight so that you can read along with your narrator. I believe that I know that it has large font. I'd have to go to it. You're right. Just the menus. That's correct. I'm thinking of Bookshare. Bookshare, you can adjust the colors, the font size, the highlight background of the actual word, the highlight background of the sentence or paragraph that you're in. I do so much reading on the road from all different kinds of apps that I've been reading from Bookshare, I've been reading from NFB Newsline, I've been reading from Bard, just to name a few things that I read from. I have sometimes coming home a 3-hour trek, so I have plenty of time to waste, just burn my battery. Thinking here about some of the other apps. I have a lot of different magnification apps that I use, but the one I use the most is a paid app. It's called iHope. If we had access to a video, We were going to have a projector here, but we don't have a screen to project on. iHope is like a portable handheld CCTV. It's not, of course, as powerful as your handheld devices that are produced by some of the other companies, but in a pinch, in a restaurant, or reading a receipt, or something like that, or sorting mail, it works quite well. It's a $3.99 app purchase, and I do turn off VoiceOver when I'm using it because it has a faster focus time. You can variable the zoom, you can capture the image, you can save it to your picture roll. You can, once you've captured the picture, you can change it to, I think, black background with white text, blue background with yellow text. I think it's yellow background with blue text, and there might be one other. So you do have those options available to you. I use it because it focuses much better than some of the others in terms of how fast it focuses in and how well it keeps a focus. But I probably have about 10 different magnifiers, a folder that just says magnifiers, and I have several magnifiers in it, but that's the one I use the most. Of course, I use a lot of scan and read things besides. The main one is probably Zoom Reader, but I also use Say Text, and Say Text has a background that's black with white text, so for my vision use, I can still see the text that's on the screen. So if I don't understand what is being spoken, at least I can go back and take a look and try and make out what it was trying to say. And like any OCR, sometimes you have to OCR more than once to get a good, clean scan. Richard, you want to come help? I feel like I'm floundering.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Robert Wendt. I have a quick question. What is it about iHope that makes you use it more than the other applications?
The biggest thing is the focus. Even with a lot of the older clients that I work with, they're able to get it to focus and stay focused much, much quicker. I'm able to tap the screen once or twice, and it will bring up a blue square and try and see the text and focus on it quicker than some of the others. Some of the others, it just doesn't want to focus in. You try and try. I have, I could probably tell you all the different apps I have that I've tried and which ones I really liked and which ones I didn't like at all. Magnifiers. iHope, that's the one I use the most. EYEHOPE. Over 40 is another one that used to be free, I forget how much it is now, that a lot of people use. It has some of the same. I got to open it up because that's been a while. Yeah, over and then the 40. Yes. I also like, I chose these two because they are full screen. There are some magnifiers out there that are like a circle on the screen, so you don't utilize the whole screen. In this case, I hope. We have flashlight. Some of them have the ability to turn the light on and off. Over 40 and I hope both do, so that if you do need additional light. They both have about the same amount of zoom, over 40 and I hope. But it doesn't have the inverted colors that sometimes, if I'm trying to read some menus, because some of the menus, depending on the coloration, I hope gives me the ability to at least freeze it and then change the color so that I have a better chance of reading or trying to read what's there. MagLight is another full screen one that I've used, and that was one of the first free ones that I was using because it was full, one of the few that I could find that was full screen, and it had the ability to turn the light on and off. Okay. Some of these have changed since they've had some updates. Glasses is one that's another full screen. Most of the ones that I have here are full screen. I've dumped almost all the ones that were a magnifier that was just a circle on the screen. Is there any that you've been using, Richard?
I'm not. Yeah, you speak better than that, because I'm using more voiceover function stuff.
Okay. There's probably a mic to your right.
Let's see if it's on. Can this mic? Oh, I don't think there's a wire for this.
Is the mute on?
Well, it's, it doesn't have a.
This one has a mute
on. I think it's good. I'll take that one. This one looks like it's not even.
Okay, it's on.
Okay, thank you. So we both have a mic. So, and feel free to chime in here too, Stephanie. A couple of things when I think of using my phone from just a partially sighted and, you know, person who doesn't read text much even anymore, I'm using VoiceOver. And one of the things that I found very helpful from the setup is I don't like that default voice. So I use Australian English, which I think is great. And have you all heard of that? Yeah. It's a much nicer voice. And I'm speaking more from the voice over into the house. And I do look at my screen with what vision I have just to see where I'm going. And I am using iOS 7 on my iPhone 5 versus the other phone where I was using iOS 6. Did you mention the highlight cursor, Stephanie?
With using
iOS 7 on your iPad?
No, I did not. Okay. But I do use highlight. Like, for instance, there's a website that I go to and I've written them more than once that has a chirp. When I'm using VoiceOver, it keeps chirping and cutting off VoiceOver, so I never get anything read. So what I end up doing is turning off VoiceOver and doing a tap hold, which then brings up a select bar, which is a blue bar with some handles. And if it just selects the whole top line, you get an icon where there's two words. The word on the left is copy. The word on the right is speak. If you have highlighted turn on and you tap that speak, as it speaks the whole page to you, that highlight will move along. And you'll be able to at least see where it's at. Even if it is small print, you know that you're getting to the bottom of the page. With speak, even though I've closed the page or gone back to the former level, it still speaks the whole page. It will keep speaking until I make it do another speak gesture again. And that's how I get around a couple of web pages that I visit that refuse to speak with VoiceOver.
Wow. So, and for me, back into iOS 7, although I don't rely much on what I can see reading the words, I still do want to see what I'm reading with VoiceOver. Same thing, I'll on my PC, I'm using, you know, Zoom Text and then JAWS, so I can kind of see where I'm headed with things. So I'm using the invert color, so I have the white text on the black background for better contrast. And some of the new features in iOS 7 that, even though the initial, like you said, the clock and some of the other fonts are kind of scraggly and I don't like it either, there is larger type that you can turn on, and there's a slider switch for that. You can turn on bold text, and I think if you turn on bold text, you have to restart your phone.
That is correct.
And
your iDevice has to be restarted once you do bold. And that brings us close to the font we used to have, but it's still not
where it used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, on iOS 6.
And the largest font I don't think is quite as large as it was in iOS 6.
Ah, okay.
In iOS 6, it was 56 point. I think this is probably closer to 52.
Okay. And then you can do increase contrast and turn that on, and I think that helps with certain areas of the phone.
It helps in some areas. In other areas, it makes no difference. And in some of the vets that have come to our program for other things but have updated their devices, and they come and ask me, and I said, well, let's try, did you enable contrast? He says, oh, yeah, that made it worse.
Oh, okay. That's not good. I wish they would introduce color schemes like they would in other software programs, and that may help. And then increase contrast, and then reduce motion. I think they say to turn that on, and then it helps when you look at the phone from different angles. Does that make sense? If you turn it off, it's the way the phone comes default with iOS 7, so things look clear, I'm told. And plus, it saves on battery life.
I thought it was the other way around.
Reduce motion on. Let's see. Reduce the motion of the user interface. Well, she's looking at that. There's another one. Whatever. So I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself here. The other thing is the cursor. You can highlight the cursor by making the borders brighter. So when you're like scrolling around, you can see kind of what heading you're in on the cursor. And I use that, and that's helpful when I'm trying to find on the screen where I'm at. You know, I'm looking for that right now.
Back to the motion, it's reduce motion when it's on. So you choose on, and it reduces the motion that is been introduced in iOS 7. So turning it on is supposed to help reduce the animation and improve your battery life.
Right.
Parallax effect of icons and alerts. Heading. Characters. Language. Vert navigation. Headings. Containers. Punctuation. Speech rate. 30, 20, 15. Reduce the motion of the user interface, including the parallax effect of icons and alerts. Heading. Reduce motion. Heading. Settings. On-off labels. Subtitles. Mono audio. Off. Reduce motion. On.
And button. That was under
vision, heading, accessibility.
Accessibility. Heading. So you go to settings, accessibility, and then
reduce motion.
Reduce motion.
General, and then accessibility.
General, yeah. on the On the iPhone, you have to go to general. On the iPad, you're sitting in general.
Oh, okay. The other thing you were asking, the large cursor is under vision. It's under voiceover. So when it says voiceover on, hit that. It's not going to turn voiceover off. It's going to take you into the voiceover menu, and it's one of the last things you see, and it does say large cursor, and it's towards the bottom, but it's I like it, and I think it's kind of cool. Large cursor on. If you turn it on, you'll see a significant difference if you have vision, and I like it, even though, again, I don't use it much to read words. I just like to see where, you know, the cursor is at on the screen.
And that's the voiceover cursor.
Right.
That shows the voiceover, where the voiceover cursor is on the page. And that is helpful for somebody who's learning how to use voiceover, because sometimes where you think you are and where you're reading are not necessarily the same place. So being able to see where that voiceover cursor is can be very helpful. And it works in both standard mode and inverted color mode. Well, it's more like the voiceover cursor is like a rectangle that follows the voiceover voice. And so if you're in an email, for instance, an email is broken up into chunks of manageable amounts of text. And sometimes you might be looking at one area, but your cursor is actually down near the bottom of the page. And it depends on the size of font you're using as well. Oh, shush.
Right. You talked about some of the magnification apps. I'm pretty sure that folks, are many folks aware of TapTapSee? TapTapSee. Have you used it, Stephanie?
Oh, yes. I use it a lot.
I think it's brilliant because, again, I can't see if I'm at a stop sign or at a bus sign. So I don't want to be standing in a new environment at a stop sign when I should be stopped at a bus sign. So I'll take a picture of the sign because I can see it with my phone. And in real time, it'll come back and tell me, if it's not a lot of text, it'll say bus stop 1A, 1B, or it'll say stop sign.
Yeah, it's using, what do you call that? I can't think of the term. It's using, well, not crowdsourcing, but it's also using like a web to do OCR. And I've used it, for instance, I went to a strip mall. I knew that I was told this new store that I was looking for was in this strip mall, but it's a huge strip mall. And I got lost enough vision where I can't read those signs anymore. I can see them, but I can't read them.
Same here.
So I have unlimited data, so that's not a problem. I can
Same
go snap
here.
Pictures all day long.
AT&T.
And so I went and just took pictures of all the various different stores till I found the one I was looking for. And finally found what I was looking for. At least that was helpful because there wasn't a single soul on the street. I was looking for a person. The one person I did say, well, I don't see it. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, here's your app.
And so I ended up, and then another time I was down in San Diego for the conference on technology that's held by California State University, Northridge. And I had to go to a different hotel, and I knew it was across the street, but all the buildings kind of looked the same. I came across some signs, so I snapped pictures. Okay, I found there's a seafood restaurant, there's a Starbucks. And eventually the next thing I came across was the hotel we were looking for. Tap, tap, see it, no spaces, just capital T, capital T, capital S. So it's T-A-P, T-A-P, S-E-E. There's also CamFind, which is very similar to tap, tap, see. But tap, tap, see is easier to use. C-S-E-E.
Yeah. And it's and it's free. And
it's
free. Brilliant.
I also use VizWiz. Some of you who were at our convention a couple, what was it, spring? Was it last? No, spring 2 years ago. Not this year, but 2012. Marlena Lieberg spoke about her use of VizWiz at a hotel, which was a very enlightening story. Make sure you're not standing in front of a full-length mirror while checking out the three bottles to find out which is shampoo, conditioner, or lotion when you're getting ready to go to the shower.
Yeah. You know, back to TapTapSee, because again, it's the app that I use the most, and it for just to identify things. And a friend of mine actually who works for Apple warned me, saying, you know, people are actually reading things for you, so it's probably good that you're not like scanning your social security number or credit card number, because it's the web, folks, and they're not like checking IDs at the door when they're having these people read your, you know, do these things for you. So again, proceed with caution when you're having certain materials read. And they also give you a disclaimer, like don't, you know, take pictures of nudity and other things, because, you know, they don't want that being captured on their servers and such. But I think it's a brilliant app. I use it more often than I can count, just for those signs and you know, finding
grocery shopping.
Yeah, grocery shopping. Is this the peanut butter that I want? And I just want to go back to something I forgot to tell you about earlier with the CNI app. I was on San Francisco State University doing a presentation on Tuesday, and I hadn't been there in 2 years, so I had forgotten how to get to Burke Hall. And, yeah, I could have asked one of thousands of students in the quad, but I'm like, I want to see if this works. And I typed in Burke Hall in the POI search, and it came up, and it said it's 470 feet at 11 o'clock. And I kept walking, and okay, go northeast. Okay, great, northeast, 210 feet. Okay, within like 100 feet, you have arrived at your destination. So I felt really empowered. And then I asked a woman, I go, ma'am, is that Burke Hall? She goes, it sure is. I'm like, great. So that was very useful, like kind of coupling your technology with these human beings around you. So it was pretty darn cool. Let me see what else here. You all talked about Bard, and I think that's a brilliant, again, a great app. I use Audible, completely accessible. It's subscription. You pay $9, $10, $20, $30 a month for book credits, and they're narrated, and you can get a lot of new books that aren't always available right away on Bard. And, yeah, there's Bookshare, but I like the real narration. I think that's pretty cool. So it's kind of premium, but, I don't pay for cable. Yeah, that's one of those luxuries I can afford. I'm just scrolling down my phone here.
Let me go out of here.
Yeah, can you come up and grab the mic that I wireless, and then I'll let you.
Okay, since the upgrade to 7 from the 5, they have screwed up the calendar. Do you know of any other calendar that would be better than the one they got?
I'm in the process of researching that. You're not the first person to ask me, and you won't be the last person.
Well, what they messed up was, you know how they had the list? You know how they had the calendar on top, you know, with the dates, and then underneath you had the list? Well, they took that away. And then they have the stupid colors, which drives me insane. And the print is small. Of course, the print was small before.
Right. The pastel colors don't help when you're looking for certain things.
Exactly.
For instance, notes now has pastel yellow on white. Email has pastel blue on white.
I don't have that.
Well, for some of the buttons. Not the text, but there's some buttons. And those buttons basically disappear with that kind of contrast. On calendar, some of the buttons, I think, are like a red or a pink on white. And it's not bright. It's very dull, and there's no contrast. And without that contrast, it's hard to find those buttons unless you're using VoiceOver. Yeah. The other thing that you'll find in some cases, the search fields, or what you thought were search fields, that have disappeared. They haven't disappeared per se. On the Safari, your address bar is also now your search bar. In Notes, you have to do it was Spotlight. In other words, the search on the whole phone, where you would go to, you'd used to flick past your home page to Spotlight. Well, now, on your home screen, you do a three-finger flick down, and it will reveal a search field, which then you can search the whole phone for whatever it is you're looking for. In my case, I do that quite often because I have about 400-plus apps on my phone.
Wow.
And I don't always remember where they're at when somebody says, hey, does such and such work? Well, let me go look and see if I still have that. And sometimes I have to play with the calendar. I know that they took away, along the bottom on the iPad used to have where I could flick from date to, like if I was in month view, I could go to any month at the bottom, or I can go to next or previous, or I could even flip a whole year. Well, that's gone now. So I need to explore more with the app and see if stuff is just hidden. And I also am looking into other possibilities for calendar, because I've had more than one person ask me that. You're not the first. Yeah, looking for a third-party app.
So, have you ever tried contacting them and say, shape up?
Oh, don't worry. My first fight is the text and the colors. Because that's such... for somebody who's a low vision user, there are times, for instance, for those of you who use access services in the LA area, I tend to want to use maps. Well, in iOS 7 on my iPad, I can't really see the maps anymore because of the color contrast. And I want to know more than just where I am. I want to be able to track where I am so that I can take notes as to where access is leading me astray on my 3-hour tour home.
Yes. You know, a trick that I learned, and maybe some of you know this, I just learned last week by accident. If you're using VoiceOver with iOS 7, a lot of people were finding it difficult to unlock their phone because the slider switch wasn't as visible on the bottom, and you were trying to find it. So does everyone who has iOS 7 know the new way of opening your phone once you've got the clock up on your screen to unlock it? You take three fingers and swipe to the right, and it unlocks your phone. So you don't have to, you know, hunt and peck and look for that lock switch on the bottom left. So again, three fingers swipe to the right with VoiceOver on.
Are you talking about the code?
Well, if you have a code, you still have to enter your code, but I don't have a code on my phone. Right, so when you hit the top slide the stop switch on the top of your phone to turn on the phone, but you still have to unlock it to get to your icons. You just take three fingers and swipe to your right. Yeah. Well, you still have to push the button on top, but once you open it, you still have to unlock the phone to get to your icons. And so what I'm saying is you can do it the old way. It takes a little longer, or you can take three fingers and swipe to the right. Yeah, it's easy. The other thing with VoiceOver that I like is if you are reading a large chunk of text that you want to copy that's not in edit form, that you're reading, let's say you're reading Access World and you're reading iOS tips and you've read a paragraph, like, oh, that's a great paragraph, I want to extract that. So what you do is you take three fingers again and you tap four times, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it'll copy that text, a string of text that I just read, and it could have been a paragraph. Copy it to the clipboard, and then you can paste it into an email by opening up an email and then going to the edit field and swiping down until you hit paste.
Provided Zoom is not turned on.
Ah, thank you.
If Zoom has been turned on, that one doesn't work at all. And to turn off your, to mute your VoiceOver, you have to tap three times. And to turn on your screen curtain or off your screen curtain, you have to tap four times with three fingers. So with Zoom on, your VoiceOver commands get bumped up one more tap, and that copy feature he just spoke of does not work.
Okay, that's good to know. But I like it. You know, I've learned to use it. That's pretty cool. The Control Center people were finding it difficult to swipe up to the Control Center with VoiceOver because it wasn't obvious, and you have to find the status bar on your screen and then swipe up with three fingers, and the Control Center again pulls up the flashlight, the airplane mode, the do not disturb mode, track mode, Bluetooth mode, Wi-Fi mode, all the immediate things you want to access while you're multitasking. Yeah, I'm speaking from the VoiceOver side of the house, so I can't help you there.
There's very few using Zoom is about the only other option. When something is not in large print, in other words, let's say you've set your two sliders, the one in the main settings under general, there's one for large, and then under accessibility, there's another for making your font large. Both of those you've turned up, and you still have areas that you go to regularly, you want to see larger. That's where you would turn on Zoom. And I don't remember if you can turn Zoom on with Siri or not. I'll have to try it because I don't remember.
Yes. Yeah. We are talking about the iPhone.
The iDevices and iOS 7.
Yes.
iDevices.
We'll repeat the question. So
you're asking, do you have to download iOS 7 to use that? Well, in iOS 6, you couldn't ask for any accessibility apps to be open. In iOS 7, like I was saying earlier, I can tell it to turn on or off inverted colors. And I don't remember about Zoom.
Right. Let's see
Siri
here.
Siri not available. Oh. Connect to the internet.
Well, okay. So
turn on Zoom.
I can't do Siri right now because I have no internet connection. But what about yours?
She's thinking. Hi, Siri. Turn on Zoom.
How did you get that?
Okay, let's see.
I know I read about it, but I can't remember which of the things it would Zoom. And which of the things it wouldn't in accessibility. I know it will not turn on and off VoiceOver.
Yeah, she's being given this a silent treatment right now.
I think it's our location, partly.
It could be, yeah, it's very likely. I want to talk about accessories real quick, because I'm using my iPhone when on those, you know, three-hour tours, or i.e. paratransit rides. I'm using the Apple Bluetooth keyboard to compose emails, and it's just a great companion. The downside is it doesn't have a cover, so if you put it in the wrong part of your backpack, this is my second keyboard, some of the keys will come loose over time, but...
And on the Apple keyboard, you can also accidentally turn it on. I use the Logitech Easy Switch Bluetooth keyboard since I use my iPhone, my iPad, And sometimes I connect to my students' laptop computers. So I can connect to three different devices and switch back and forth at will.
Do you have that with you?
Yes, I do.
I want to see it when you have a second. I've been looking for a better one. This isn't bad. Ma'am, did you have a question?
Is that a Bluetooth one?
Yes, the Apple keyboard and the Logitech 811 Easy Switch keyboard are both Bluetooth keyboards. The other one that I've used with some of my clients is the Microsoft 6000 Bluetooth keyboard, which is slightly curved, and it's a little larger than both of these keyboards. But for a person who has very large hands and wants a more ergonomic feel, that's about the closest you're going to get.
This is a nice keyboard. Does it take batteries?
No. If you feel at the top, at about on the near the right edge, you're going to find a connector for a, what is it, a mini?
Mini, a micro.
Yeah.
So what is it retail? I'm going to go buy it. This is great.
Well, it in some places, the retail value suggested from Logitech is $99.99.
Okay.
I've seen it as cheap as $65 on Amazon, but that was some time ago. I haven't seen it come back down. The cheapest I think I've seen it lately is $75.
So the model number is Logitech?
Logitech Easy Switch 811.
Easy Switch 811.
And this has Mac keys as opposed to Easy Switch, or I don't think I call it Easy Switch, but it still has three Bluetooth connections.
That's
it's
nice.
The 810, and it has the Alt, Control, and Windows keys. And this one has the Control, Option, Command keys.
Does it have the 10-key number?
There's no number pad on any of these, because in most cases, the iOS devices, you're not... They're not thinking in terms of having something where you're separately using a number pad like you might with a Microsoft product.
Yeah. And then the last thing I have up here as far as accessories is the Anchor. It keeps my phone charged, especially when I'm chugging down a CNI GPS and doing like a 10-mile walk. And I want to explore my area. So this has plugins for... Android, and I could even charge my Victor Reader Stream on this because it has all the different adapters you can plug. So,
what's the milliamp on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Anker, A-N-K-E-R, if you want to look at it and see. It's $39 on Amazon, and it's kind of the middle-of-the-road one, but it's definitely...
I'd have to read the back with my magnification, but there's some text. I have the Easy Ack, E-A-S-Y-A-C-C, 1200 milliamp, and I can connect up to four different USB things and charge them at once. Right now, my phone is actually being charged as we speak. And it has different, each of the four outputs has different levels of amperage, so depending on what you're charging. They now make another one that's 1500 milliamps, and it has three USBs and one DC connector. So like if you were charging a laptop, I guess.
I've got three ports on this one. One for, they prefer Android, one is for Apple, and one's for the, you can plug in, charge in the wall, or do your other micro accessories.
And the other accessory that I have that some of the low vision users might like, I don't have it with me, it's up in my room, but it's a little stand that I can stick my iPad, for those who have iPads, even the iPhone will fit in it. And you can, so if you were trying to maybe watch something like YouTube videos or something, instead of having to hold it, if you were sitting at a table where you could then have it at a tilted position that works for you, because it has variable tilting positions, so that, and like when I'm using the Bluetooth keyboard, excuse me, I will put my iPad or my iPhone, and then that way it's tilted up. I don't have to tilt my head down.
It's like an instant laptop. It's you know, about a year before the iPad 1 came out, which I bought, I got rid of a very old-school book stand that I wish I had kept because it would have been a great prop for the iPad, and it wouldn't have cost me $50 to buy a new one.
Yes, yes. What I got was, I can't remember, it's somewhere between $10 and $25, and it's a little, when it's folded flat, it's about the size of the, a little larger than the palm of my hand, and it's probably maybe 2 inches thick at most.
How about resources of people? Let's see.
I mean, there's other things. There's lots of stuff for people who use VoiceOver who can't see. You can use I have two different money identifiers on my phone. I have the one that was produced by Looktel for $9.95 or $9.99, and that's you don't have to unfold the money. As long as it can see part of the money, it will instantly identify it. I also have the one that was iNote, E-Y-E-N-O-T-E, which is the government-issued option. And it works pretty well, and it will tell you front or back. But I've also had trouble where sometimes it won't scan. So when I lost more vision, then I decided, well, I want to get the money reader. There are...
TapTapC will read your money, too, actually.
Yes. Oh, there's a lot of OCR stuff that will read your money. A lot of them.
Yeah. The I think, you know, when you have 83 or 100 or 400 apps like we do, you start creating folders. And I think I created folders more in the last 6 months than ever before because I didn't want to have 7 pages of apps to remember. So I started, you know, organizing folders in, like, social media, books, news.
Transportation.
Yeah, I have a Travel 411 folder. So you can name them however you want them for your, and I put them on the home screen. So I've got the ones I use all the time, like my mobile banking app, TapTapC and CNI and the Bard and Audible. They don't even have folders because I access them a lot. But all the other ones are... books, mobile shopping, Amazon, are all on my home screen.
And you can move things in and out of your dock. You don't have to have the stuff that's in the dock. You can move, let's say if you never use messaging, you can move that out of your dock and put something else in. On the iPhone, I think you can have up to four items. I don't know about seven.
Four.
And on the iPad, I think it's 5 or 6. There's so many apps out there. I mean, if somebody said just talk about apps, I could talk all day long.
The other thing I want to mention is a shameless plug. Well, there's a lot of resources out there that you can access to kind of stay on tap of, you know, what's out there, what's the latest, do I have to go just to CCB just to find out what the latest thing is? No, there's like the podcasts are great. Serotalk does one for low vision. I think it's called High Contrast.
That's correct.
And they do a lot of stuff with, is it Android and iOS on just low vision, low vision angle?
iBlink Radio has a ton of podcasts. And the letter I and B-L-I-N-K, iBlink Radio. And it has podcasts, like he was saying, High Contrast from Serotech. It has Apple Viz podcasts. And then podcasts from Freedom Scientific, podcasts from GW Micro, and other companies, even other places around the world. There's some Apple podcasts for people who are learning how to use the Apple computer that are well done tutorials. So there's lots of different things. And then, of course, I also have Access World on my phone so that I can go back. Every once in a while, somebody's asked me a question about navigating iTunes and what are all the shortcuts. I said, here, go to, if they have an iPhone, I just go ahead and say, do you have Access World? And they say, yeah. I said, go to December 2012, you'll find an article. And they go off and they're happy, and the next day they come back and say, thank you.
And Access World is pretty thorough. They do cover things from all angles, and they often get it right. So I it's a good resource, absolutely. And then there's iBlink Radio, the Serotalk podcast. ACB has some stuff up there with David Woodbridge, and there's just tons. Apple Viz, that website is all about accessibility in the apps. I think they have a Mac section now, and they also have, I think what someone was saying earlier, do you give the the app people hell? Well, there's that app of the month, kind of a call to action where people are asked to write in a letter to, like, let's say, Major League Baseball app or whatever the app of the month is that needs help. So there's a lot of advocacy just around that platform.
Yes. She's asking, how would you locate App of the Month?
It's on Apple Viz, applevis.com. And then they talk about, they have the App Hall of Fame. They talk about the App of the Month that they advocate on behalf of. It's all on that website, and it's all text-based, and it's pretty cool.
And Apple has recognized as Apple Viz as a resource for Apple apps.
which they don't do lightly.
No, that's something that doesn't come easy.
Yeah. Something escaped me. I was going to wrap up with any other questions, folks?
Just in the short time I was here, you just spit out so much good information. I'd like to take it back.
If you email me, I'll try to recall as much as we covered today at RRUEDA@juniorblind.org, and I'll send you everything that I can gather. And I have a lot of handouts from different presentations I've been a part of. Oh, the other one I just thought of is, and you may have used it too, Stephanie, VIA, through Braille Institute.
Yeah.
They have an app that they update with recommended apps that are good for people with low vision, voiceover users, both, all those types of things. And they range from education to entertainment. They have categories. So that's kind of a cool app as well.
And with that particular one, that will also, let's say there's a review on Apple Viz. You tap that link and it will take you directly to that review, or it has screenshots. It'll take you to screenshots. And let's say you decide you want to purchase or obtain this app, you can. It'll take you directly to your app store and to that app, so you don't even have to do the search. So that's nice. The one I wanted to end with, which I had forgotten to mention, as a low vision user, on the iPads. Braille Institute came out with Big Browser. And Big Browser, a lot of times people who are visually impaired want to be able to fill in the form and see the form and see the keyboard at the same time. If you're using Zoom, you can't see both. You have to choose one or the other. With Big Browser, you're able to have a high contrast keyboard and be able to see what you're filling in as well. And there's a B that floats around on the web page. So let's say you want to go back to that user interface at any time. You tap on that B and it brings up the keyboard and the address bar, the home page, a search, and favorites. And so for somebody who needs that high contrast and wants to be able to see more, Big Browser is a nice, easy to operate web browser option. And I think we just went.
We're back on. Okay.
They're telling us it's 5 o'clock. It's time to go. We have till 5:30. Yes, that's correct.
You know, I just want to say one more thing. At least I think I want to say one more thing. If you ever want to have fun and you're feeling mischievous, walk into the Apple Store and go to all the Macs and turn on VoiceOver and walk away, and then watch all the sighted people try to figure out.
I'll give a plug for Saturday's. Is it Saturday, Lewis? The students are going to have iOS, or I know iOS is part of it. I think they're going to also try and cover Android, but I don't know if they got anybody to speak on gaming on your iDevices. So there will be people talking about games. So I purposely didn't talk about any games.
The other thing that comes to mind is, and you may have this at home, Stephanie, is the Apple TV.
I don't, but Lewis does.
The Apple TV is a box that you plug into your TV that's connected, that should be connected by Wi-Fi. You could plug in an Ethernet cable, and it's basically you can watch Netflix on your TV at home. You can watch, you can do a lot of things. You can buy iTunes music. You can connect to iMatch. It's all Apple. There's about 27 different icons on the screen now versus when you first bought it. When I first bought it, there was maybe 6 or 7 options. So it's expanding, and it's all VoiceOver compatible, and it's neat. So,
and paired with a smart TV, you even get more out of it.
So, and I have a 46-inch TV that I hardly ever use with cable, but with Apple TV, Netflix, and all those other things come in handy for folks around that, YouTube, and it's neat. And I think on the it's airplane mirroring or something, you can, with your iPhone, you can connect onto your Apple TV what's on your iPhone by mirroring AirPlay.
Does it have the pen?
It doesn't have. Well, the Apple TV doesn't have Pandora, but you can connect Pandora through your TV, I think, if you're using your iPhone.
If you're using a smart TV. As I just saw at Braille Institute in Santa Barbara, they have an LG TV, and they're using one of the newer Apple TVs. And it had all kinds of stuff that it was at. It was reading a lot of stuff, went to a lot of different places. It was much more accessible than the 30-year-old TV sitting on at home.
Yeah, definitely.
You got a mic back there you can use?
I'm coming to get this one.
Here you go.
Thank you.
And I know Louie will have a good comment on this one.
What's
the
Apple
TV. He owns one.
Okay. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry.
Blow us out of the water.
Okay. Good. Okay. I am not a crook. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Sorry. Okay. The LG model that Stephanie's talking about is something that my wife is going to want to get, simply because it's got a lot of neat stuff. It's the 42-inch LG 5700 series. The reason why that model was purchased by Braille Institute is because they wanted a device that could be very blind-friendly from the get-go. This particular device is hosting Apple TV, which is real cool. What makes it even better is the fact that you can get an app from LG for that particular 5700 series. That app has full accessibility. Everything that VoiceOver reads to you on the iPad, when you tap on it, you're controlling your TV. And you talk about a totally blind accessible TV interface. It's great because you're getting the feedback that's coming in that VoiceOver picks up through Apple TV, and you're also getting feedback onto the configurations of the LG TV unit itself. So it is something to consider. Some other companies have also started putting on their apps so you can control their TVs. Look at Samsung. There's a lot of stuff that Samsung is doing other than VoiceOver. They have their own user interface, which makes it accessible. Consider that as well.
The other thing I would tell you, not on Apple TV, but in general about using apps, if you come across an app that doesn't quite work for one reason or another, especially those people who are still using, let's say it's a contrast issue, usually there's some way of contacting the developer, whether it's going to the website for the app and finding out where to write to, or going, sometimes it's right in the app store and it will say contact and it will give an email address. Contact the developer and tell them what you're having issues with, and tell them that you're low vision, or tell them that you're using VoiceOver and this portion doesn't read or that portion doesn't read. I've done that with many apps. One of the apps, for instance, that I use when I'm at home, I use daily, is NextBus. And I use that all the time. Well, when they started putting the ads in, with VoiceOver, I couldn't dismiss the ads. I had to turn off VoiceOver, dismiss the ad, and turn VoiceOver back on. But you had to know that you had to tap in the upper right-hand corner. And the ads kept popping up more and more and more. So I wrote them. I said, I explained I was a VoiceOver user. Could you just make it possible for us to dismiss the ad since it can't say anything? And eventually they did an update, and now I can go to the upper right corner. It will say dismiss interstitial ad, and I'm able to double tap and make the ad go away, and I can get back to my, when is my bus coming? Or when is the next two buses coming? I use iNextBus. The contrast is good. The font is large.
Yes.
And you're able to even see a map, which you can move around and find out where that bus is visually.
In the Bay Area, I don't know if it's out here in L.A., I use Transporter, which does similar findings as well. The Amtrak app is really accessible until you want to plug in your 15% discount. let's see. Oh, the other one I wanted to mention earlier was I make no qualms about it, a huge Newsline fan, and their app is brilliant. You can listen to Newsline All the publications they have up there, from your LA Times, New York Times, San Francisco Chronicle, magazines, Time Magazine, Rolling Stone, People, just
Ladies Home Journal, Ladies Reader's Home Journal, Digest,
Men's Journal, all kinds of stuff. And it's cool.
But you know the one thing that the vets all want to get it for, if, even if they don't want to read the paper anymore, they want to be able to independently read their TV listings.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's the one thing I've, for several vets, they say, I don't want to read the paper anymore, but I want to be able to find out what's on TV without having to ask my wife.
Yep. There you go. I mean, it's just, it's unparalleled how much free, up-to-date information is up there. I mean, next to Twitter, which I use all the time to kind of see if there's a BART strike tomorrow, which I guess there is. the Newsline app, really, I can just go, oh, wow, I've read, you know, the Sunday Times is my favorite read, the New York Sunday Magazine. There's just tons of stuff up there, and it's all text-based. It's free, and it's just...
It's easy to navigate by changing your rotor, which is like turning a knob, mm-hmm. to headings, and then just flicking up or down to go from article to article. And instead of having to navigate the web page, which has a whole lot of links and a whole lot of information, and sometimes the story
ads
is split around, with Newsline, you're able to read straight through a whole story. And if you like the story well enough, you can send it to yourself and turn around and then send it off to somebody else. I've done that many times with, let's say, Ladies Home Journal, and I've gotten recipes. I have a friend who's diabetic. I've gotten some diabetic recipes, sent them to myself, and then turned around and sent them to her.
The other thing that I don't think CCB does much is they've got it up there. We don't publicize it, but it's actually today's program and the net fall announcements up there under the California, if you're registered through California, it's under the California options and California information.
Blindness.
CCB and even the blind Californians up there, so you could read it that way. That's all I've got to say. Anything else?
Any questions that might trigger more info? If not, thank you for attending.
Yep.
And I'm sure Roger and Bernice would be here to thank you. If Roger has other obligations, and of course, we know Bernice is not feeling well.
Right.
So with that, I would like to say thank you for attending the CCCLV, and we look forward to seeing you in the spring.
Thank you.